It's so interesting when you begin to look at, as God begins to speak to you and what he wants to do, that it's kind of difficult, I guess, as we've been doing this for a little while and been speaking for a while, but you still tend to get really nervous. And this morning, I was almost, food was almost coming up in a way that I didn't want it to come up. And my wife was like, "Are you okay?" I said, "I am. I'm just a little nervous. Leave me alone." So, but it's just been so awesome as you just feel God and what he's doing, and he starts just ministering. And it, the whole time here to church this morning, I'm just praying. Me and Emmeline came in this morning early, and so I'm sitting in the car and praying, and she's praying in the back, and she's singing along to some song that she's hearing in her head, and we're just worshiping God, and it was so beautiful, and it was just like, yes, God, I know you're going to do it. And I get here, and it was just like confirmation after confirmation after confirmation of what he wants to speak to us this morning. So I feel God is so strong with us and through us and in us. So if by chance we're in the middle of a fast, we're almost done. Yes, okay, I'll be the only one. I'm excited. We're almost done. No, we're in the middle of a fast. We got one more week as we come into the final home stretch of this fast. Hasn't it been amazing? Has anybody fasted so far? Yeah, awesome. I did a three-day fast this past week. Nothing hurts you more than when you start a fast and your wife decides to either cook all the meals that you like, or I have to help her cook them, or I have to go help her pick up pizza. And I'm a big Little Caesars fan, so that was like the worst for me, having Little Caesars in the house, and you can smell the aroma, you know, and you're just like, yes, Lord, yes. Smell your presence. Yes, God, I'm holding a piece of pizza, just, yes, Lord, as you guzzle a bunch of water. But God is so good, and it was a good time. I didn't eat the pizza, if you're wondering. Okay, I know I look like I eat a lot of pizza, but I did not eat the pizza during our fast. God was good. So Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to a region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him, pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. She's bothering us with all her begging." And Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading again. Man, she didn't let it back down. She came again, worshiping him and pleading with him, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It's not right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true. That's true, Lord. But even the dogs are allowed to eat scraps that fall beneath the master's table." Jesus, I'm sure it doesn't say so, but in my mind, you see the whole thing playing out. And Jesus, I'm sure, does this little head snap and says, "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. Mark chapter 7, we're going to read kind of the same story, but just from a different gospel. Mark chapter 7, starting with verse 24. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Isn't that funny? He was trying to hide out, and then Jesus is like, "I'm just kidding. We're actually going to tell everybody that I'm here." And so he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile born of Syrian, Phoenicia, Jesus told her, "First, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates." The Bible says, good answer. Jesus replies, well, the Bible's writing it, saying it. Jesus replies, "Good answer," he said. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed. Now, how many of you parents know that that is just a miracle all in itself? Right? Finding them laying quietly in their bed. And the demon was gone. So for the next few moments or minutes or however long it takes, no. For the next few moments, I want to speak to you on this subject. Faith, it's what's for dinner. Faith, it's what's for dinner. So Father, we thank you again. We just ask that you would just bless us, anoint us. Let us just speak your word as we prepare our hearts to be able to hear you as you speak to us. And we just want to say, Lord, have your way. We don't want it any other way. We don't want to make it of our own accord, but we want to make it just about you. So we're saying, Lord, as we just dive into your word for the next few moments, that you would speak, that we would hear, and that you would move and minister. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Awesome. I would tell you to be seated, but you're already sitting. So there you go. We're one ahead. During prayer and fasting, how many knows that it can be kind of difficult, right? Let's just be honest with each other. As you're fasting, I remember a story a couple years ago that me and my wife, we were doing a church fast when we were living in California. And it was a 3-day fast. And I was talking to her about it, and she said she doesn't remember this part, but I do. is that after 3 days, it's like everything begins to smell good. But my first day, a couple days ago, my first day of the 3 days fast, I know I could smell somebody brewing coffee like two houses down. I know somebody was barbecuing in the middle of a snowstorm, and I could smell it. And it's like all your senses begin to heighten, right? That you're just like, wait a minute. And as we were fasting for that time, we just had our dog at the time. And I remember my wife asked me to feed the dog or to give her a treat. And my wife, okay, we know where this story is going a little bit, right? My wife got her these very nasty-looking dog treats. Well, they're nasty-looking when your stomach's full. But when you're fasting and you're hungry, the beef jerky of this dog treat smells absolutely beautiful. The best smell I had ever smelt before. I can still tell you where I was standing in the kitchen. It was that much of an impact on me. I don't remember quite what I was wearing, but I could tell you where I was standing in our kitchen at that time. And it's one of those things that I remember smelling it and being like, man, I really want to eat this beef jerky stick. That's a dog treat. And I thought about that as I was preparing for today's message, is that as we begin to pray and fast, it's one of the things that faith, it's what's for dinner. Because we're denying ourselves, our own flesh, our own desires, and saying, but what I want most of all is faith in God. That what he's going to do is what he said he is going to do. That it's not something that I have to strive for or work after, but what I get to do is come into agreement with him and align myself with him, that he begins to know that I'm taking it serious. That God, I want you to move, so I'm willing to deny my flesh for this amount of time, and I want to see you do something great. So rather than sit down and have that delicious beef jerky stick, what I want to actually feast on is the word of God and the faith that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's one of the things that as I was preparing for this message, thinking about and going after. So the story that we broke into, you see, there's so many things that happen within these verses that we read within Mark and Matthew. And I wish we had so much time that we could go over, but I just wanted to highlight a few different points to you through these scriptures. The first thing that we see, that Jesus is coming to an area where he and his disciples are needing some much needed rest. The Gospel of Mark says that Jesus was trying to sneak into the house so that people didn't even know where they were. It says, I love that part, and I said that just a second ago, that but Jesus couldn't keep it a secret. You see, that's interesting to me that Mark would even say that, because how can Jesus, who is saying, I want to go and hide, but then he's like, but I've got to do something when I'm here. It's Jesus who begins to say, but I'm gonna let everybody know that I'm here. You see, because I believe that Jesus was saying, I just don't want to be kept silent or kept secret. And so with you and I, as we begin to walk into this season of prayer and fasting, or even just in our own walk with God, there are plenty of times that we feel like he's far away or that he's hidden from us. But can I remind you, as Mark said, that Jesus doesn't want to keep himself secret. That he wants to have a relationship with you and I today. That even though we may feel like we're so far away from him or we don't know where he's at, but once we make ourselves available to him, Jesus will make himself and show himself who he is to you and I. And I love that about him, that because this is who he is and this is what he wants to do, is touch and heal and deliver and set free, not only at that time, but right here and right now. That he's not a God that stayed on a cross and not a God that stayed in a tomb, much like everybody else, all these other gods that we can name that are dead and gone. But it's Jesus Christ today that we get to worship and proclaim his name. That if we can just have faith to know that I might not be feeling you right now, but I know what you said and I know that you're going to deliver on your promises. Because he's faithful to every end. He's so good to us and he's so wonderful. You know, we homeschool our children. I say we. My wife homeschools our children. Hey, I help. That was hurtful that you guys laughed at that. Hurtful. My wife homeschools our children. And she was telling me the other day, she said that her history lesson had to be on ancient Egypt. And she was describing, she said, did you know this about ancient Egypt? And did you know that about ancient Egypt? And I told her, I didn't know some of these things. And the thing that she said that was most of all was there were so many gods that half the time they couldn't even keep up with. They didn't even know half of their names. We're talking hundreds of gods that they were trying to say that they had. And we're in the car and I told her, but I'm so thankful that I don't have to worry about 700 different gods, that I only got to worry about one, that I've only got to serve one and he takes care of everything. That I don't have to sit there and try to figure out which God I need to bow down to or which God I need to serve, but I know if I can just bow down to Jesus, he's going to take care of everything. So you see, there's a lady in that area there's a lady who has a daughter who's possessed by an evil spirit. It's tormenting her. Not just her, but this mom as well. And I'm sure the rest of the house is feeling it. See, that's interesting because that's telling you and I that no matter what we go through, we're constantly affecting the people around us. That no matter what we go through, we're constantly affecting the people around us, whether it's good or it's bad. I was so thankful to be with VSSM, our Bible school, this past week. And Lynette's here. Lynette, her husband had said, instead of giving them hell, give them heaven. And that impacted me so much that when we're talking to people, I don't want to be upset with them, but what I want to do is show them heaven of what he's doing in my life. And so I know it may feel like we may be alone at times and that no one cares or no one even notices, but I want you to know something as we have collectively come together to proclaim the name of Jesus in this prayer and fasting time. And not just this prayer and fasting, but as we've gathered together Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, that if you're not here, we care. We care. We care about you. We care that you're here or you're not. And we love you and adore you. And as the body of Christ, that's something that we need to do is come closer together, that when you're not here or something's affecting you, I want you to know we care for you. We're not just saying it, but Valley Church prays for you. Valley Church cares for you. Valley, the pastoral staff, we're constantly talking about all of you in good ways. We're talking about all of you guys that we want to see heaven invade your life. We don't want you to walk away the same, and neither does Jesus. Jesus doesn't want you to walk in here and walk out the very same way, but he wants you to leave changed and revived and refreshed because he doesn't want to keep himself secret anymore. You see, the Bible says that she cried out to Jesus, even calling him son of David. She's a Gentile woman. That is not a phrase that she was supposed to be using. That's because she was a Gentile. It means she was desperate for something to happen because she was willing to break the norm or the standard of all the gods that she knew. She was a Gentile woman, which means she was a Canaanite woman, which means just like ancient Egypt, she had many gods. As we see in the Old Testament, that God is constantly fighting with Baal, not fighting, winning over Baal. And that it's constantly of this struggle. And so here's this woman who is used to calling on all these different gods. And then she hears about this man named Jesus. And she says, I don't want to call on any of those other gods. What I'm going to call on is a God that I may have no clue what he can do, but I hear everybody else calling him son of David. And so here's this woman that says, I've got a need in my life, and I'm willing to sacrifice and do something that's completely different and completely out of the ordinary. Can I tell you that each and every time we're walking with God, there's going to be times that we're going to have to break the norm. We're going to have to break the norm and reach out to him in such a different way that it might look crazy, or it might look weird, or it might sound weird, or we may speak in a different language. But I can tell you, because I know that faith is what's for dinner, that if I'm going to live on faith, I've got to do something that says I've got to break the norm of what I'm used to. The norm can't happen to us anymore. That cannot be our regular go-to. And I'm not just saying, I'm saying me. I'm putting myself in there with you. That 2020 is a year that I want God to do some miraculous things, but I can't keep living the same way or expecting different results. What I've got to do is run after God as hard as I can, because I know that if I take one step towards him, he takes the other 99 towards me. And if I want him to touch my life, and I want him to touch my children, and I want him to touch my marriage, it means that I might have to break the norm of how I normally go about. It means that I might got to spend a few more minutes in his word, a few more minutes in his presence, a few more minutes with my earphones on and just worshiping in the middle of my room. And it looks weird, I'm sure, but what this woman said is, I'm desperate for a move of God. So my faith inside of me has to rise up, that I don't want to just eat the same and be the same, but I want to eat faith so that faith can take me to his faith. And I want to eat his glory, because his glory will take me to the next glory. And what I want to see is God move. So God, just do what you want to do in our life. I ask you the question, what do we want to see during this fast? What do we want to see as God begins to move? There's something that it's causing us to get out of our comfort zone. We talk about it constantly here as a culture of ours, that we want you to step over the chicken line. We want you to step out in faith. That's going to maybe cause you to do something that you might not ordinarily do. Like when you go out and you begin to pray for people. I know the first time I did it with our Bible school, I tell them all the time that I was a little skeptical. I was a little skeptical of how it actually work, or would this really happen. And we go out and we begin to pray with people. And I'm so thankful that we were doing this treasure hunt and I didn't find my treasure. And I was like, yes, I don't got to pray for anybody. And even the person I was with, a team from Bethel was here, and the lady's like, you know, Tim, are you going to pray for anybody? I said, well, I haven't seen my treasure yet, so I don't think so. And we're sitting, we're all standing in Nampa at the library, and we're talking and all this stuff. And then wouldn't you know it, but the brown jacket and red shirt that God had talked to me hours before, this gentleman starts walking out of I don't know where, but he starts walking out with a brown jacket and a red shirt. And I was like, didn't even think. I felt like one of those racehorses that heard the siren and the doors open and I book it as fast as I can. Now, I can't run that fast, but I was booking it to this gentleman. And I get to him and I start talking with him and I start saying, hey, man, this is going to sound really weird. I'm as weirded out as you're as weirded out. But I want you to know that God highlighted, and I showed him the paper and I said, this is what God told me about you. And I want you to know that he wants to do something great in your life. Is there anything I can pray for? And you know that quick moment where you're like, please say no. That quick moment where you're like, please say no. And he's like, yes, I do. I want you to pray for me because I'm angry all the time. And he like, you know, tightens up his fist. And I was like, Jesus, for real? Help me, God. You couldn't have given me like, you know, someone who was just needed, you know, a headache to go away. But you're going to give me someone with anger. And this dude's going to hit me. And so I start to get scared because I'm not that tall of a guy. And he's a little bit bigger than me. And so I was like, dude, let's pray together. If that's okay, I just want to pray with you. And he's like, yes. He's like, but, you know, I used to go to church before, but I don't go anymore. And he starts telling me these different things. And I said, dude, it's not about going to church. It's about having a relationship with God. I said, no, don't get me wrong. I love that we're all together. And I love what we all come together on Sunday morning and worship and pray. But please understand the context is that I want you to have a relationship with God. And so I told him that. And we began to talk and we began to pray. And you could see his hands begin to kind of like loosen up. And I was like, it's working. Thank you, Jesus. And it was so amazing and so wonderful. So when you begin to step over in that chicken line, it's something that we might have to step outside the norm. And we might have to do a little different. And so I would challenge you is that this coming year, do something a little different. Do something a little different. Maybe it's just one simple change, one simple way of doing things, whatever it may be, reading your Bible for an extra chapter,
or just reading your Bible at all, or even listening to it. This past week, I was just listening to it as we're doing chores around the house because I couldn't just sit and read for a little while, so I put it in my earphones. It's one of the things that we can just constantly be thinking about the Word of God and have that going in through our heart and our mind. And so do something a little different. But it was so awesome during this time is that we're constantly seeking after God and seeing what He wants to do. And this woman is in desperate need. And so Psalms chapter 63, verse number 1, Psalms chapter 63, verse number 1, it says, "Oh God, you are my God. Oh God, you are my God. You're not someone else's God. You're my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you." Just the first part is just that I just hunger and thirst for you, God. I want to hunger and thirst for you unlike anything I've ever hungered and thirst for before. I want you to be so magnificent to me like that beef jerky stick that was a dog treat that I thought it was so amazing. God, I want you to be like that to me. That when I begin to read your word, that it comes alive. When I begin to spend time with you, that your words that you speak to me are getting louder and louder. As I position my heart to you, that you can do something great in our lives. Amen? The disciples tell Jesus to just get rid of her. She's bothering them. I don't know if it's because they're tired and they need rest, and Jesus ignores her. Isn't that weird? Because Mark is saying that they went into a place and Jesus couldn't even keep it secret that he's there. And now he's ignoring this woman's plea and cry. Jesus ignored her yelling until even the disciples almost get fed up with him. And he's like, they're like, "Do something about her, Jesus." How rude is that? The whole story may be a little different than what we would normally be accustomed to, the regular nature of Jesus. But I came to remember within this story is that remember that everything Jesus did always had a purpose. It never was to shame and it never was to neglect this mother's request of her daughter, but because he was actually checking the heart. Because our circumstances matter to him. But what God is most concerned about is our character within the circumstances. He's more concerned of our heart posture of where it's actually at and what's going on. You see, because Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19 says it like this. As in water, face reflects face. So the heart of man reflects the man. That's good. We're going to read that again. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19. As in water, face reflects face. So the heart of man reflects the man. Jesus is more concerned about her character and even the character within the disciples. Because at first glance, it's like, how dare you, Jesus? Like you were listening to everybody else as they were calling out to you. But here's this woman starting to call out and you're not even listening. There are so many things about everything that comes against us that we as everything that comes against us, it begins to show us our true nature. There's a lot of different quotes or a lot of different things. As the rubber meets the road, you begin to know who your true friends are, right? You begin to know who's actually got your back and who doesn't. It's the same thing with our God. As the rubber meets the road, he begins to check on our actually what's going on inside of our heart. Because a lot of times we can say, "I have faith in you, Jesus," but then all of a sudden, there's no money in the bank. Do I have faith to continue? Oh, I have faith in you, Jesus, but all of a sudden it seems like our marriage may be in turmoil. But is faith really what we're going after? And I have faith in you, Jesus, and all these things around me are constantly falling and going around and messing up, and it seems like everything's being ripped and torn away from me. And the whole time it's like, Jesus, where are you? Jesus, what's going on? Jesus, what's happening to us? You see, earlier in the chapter, we read that Jesus is teaching his disciples that it's not about what you put into your body that makes you unclean, but it's what comes out of your mouth that makes you unclean. It's not about what we put in, because he said what you put in is going to leave, but it's what actually comes out of your heart is what makes you unclean. The disciples, if you read it back a little bit in that same chapter of Mark and Matthew, in that same chapter, if you go up a few more verses, it's interesting to note that the disciples say, "You upset the Pharisees." And I thought that was kind of funny, because the whole time Jesus taught, he constantly upset the Pharisees. He constantly upset the people that were the religious ones, the ones that thought they had it all together, that thought they knew the law, they knew what to say, and they knew what to do. But Jesus comes along and says, but you're missing the whole heart of the matter. And he begins to tell them, and even Peter asks him, or one of the disciples asks him and says, can you explain this? And that's when he says, it's not about what you put in that makes you unclean. Now, granted, here's please, again, within the context of what we put into our body has to be beneficial for our body, whether it's physical or it's spiritual. What we want to do is put very good things inside of us so that good things can be produced. But with the heart of the character, it's about us making sure that we're putting in Jesus so that Jesus can then be expelled out of us, so that we can be able to ooze out his presence and what he's doing and what he wants to accomplish in our life. You see, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, out of the Passion Translation, says it this: so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. It's so crazy that as we began, a circumstance happened around all of us. And please, I'm not saying, I think it was last week as we were talking about the different testimonies of what's going on in the fast. And we were in the middle of the fast, and it's just something hit me, and I got a little scared of it. I got a little worried about it. So I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm giving you the word. And that is that I started to get fearful, and that's what I was saying, that sitting in my living room, and it was like, God, I need you to be as real as possible right now. I don't need you to be the God of the Bible. I need you to be the God right in my living room. And it was so amazing and wonderful as he showed up in the middle of our living room and what he did and said. And it was just like, man. And I realized that as I was studying that and living through this preaching, is that it's faith that we have to constantly live by. It's faith in him and what he wants to do. Doesn't matter our circumstance or what's happening. It's faith in him that our character reflects his character. Jesus makes a rude statement that he was sent to the Jews first. Jesus says, I was sent to God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. Mark states that Jesus said, I have to feed the children first. Please understand that she was not turned down or told to leave, but it was simply implied that he needed to do something first. Jesus is showing the picture that salvation is coming to her and to her people. But what she was going to have to do was wait. Which to you and I, waiting can be very difficult and hard. To you and I, waiting and sitting in silence can be very difficult. Hopefully you have it together, but sometimes I don't. It gets very uncomfortable, especially when you're in a meeting with people and we get quiet. I'm always one of the ones that has to fill the void with something to say. And then I end up totally saying the wrong thing. And then it's like, no, trying to take back when you can't. And so Jesus is teaching her, and not only just her, but the disciples around. Again, you would think that it's Jesus. This is what he's going to do, but he totally changes the way he's about to minister to her and minister to the disciples and minister to the people within the house. Because just as much as if I want to do something different, it's the same thing. God wants to do something different in your life. He doesn't want you to be the same. He wants you to be more like him. And with Jesus, he knew how to wait. He knew how to follow after the Father's heartbeat. And so we see it time and time again where Jesus seems to be walking to the beat of his own drum, not caring about anything else. We see that with Lazarus and his sisters as he gets to Lazarus's tombs, and Mary and Martha are saying, Jesus, if you had only been here so many times ago or so many days ago, our brother would still be alive today. Because we want him to answer on our time, not on his time. Because in my mind, I want him to answer when I want him to answer. Because I said in Jesus' names and I waved the magic wand and it's going to happen. And this woman is saying, Son of David, again, she's saying something completely out of the ordinary, completely out of the mix of what she normally does. And still there's no answer. You see, Jesus didn't walk, he walked to the beat of his own drum, but it wasn't to the beat of his own drum. No, he walked to the beat of the Father's heartbeat. He walked to the beat of the Father's heartbeat. If you and I are going to be more like Jesus, we have got to walk by the beat of the Father's heartbeat. I think I told you guys before, but when My wife and I and family, and we went with a couple other people, some friends of ours, and we went to a place here in our valley that you can go into this like big lizard inflatable thing. And it was at night, but it wasn't like scary. And but I was scaring my kids. Don't judge me. I was scaring my oldest one, and we were laughing, and we were giggling. I was giggling. I don't know if he was, but we're walking through, and as soon as you enter the lizard, you can begin to hear the heartbeat. And they're telling you that you got to go along, and you follow along within the lizard, and you're kind of going through his body, and then you come to the heartbeat. And I thought it was so awesome and amazing, because here you can hear it just faintly as soon as you walk in. And then as you begin to get closer and closer, it gets louder and louder and louder. To even when you get to the middle of the lizard, you're able to actually reach out your hand and touch his heartbeat and actually feel it, like pulsating. See the color. See what's going on inside of his heart. And I thought, how amazing of a picture that you and I get a chance to do that. As we begin to walk with Christ, we begin to slowly begin to open our senses to what God really wants to say to us. That sometimes it takes us, like I said, getting closer to him and closer to him and closer to him, and that we can begin to hear his heartbeat. Jesus was fulfilling an obligation that he had to his disciples, that they would get some rest and then continue on. We see that over and over where the obligation was to be met, but Jesus tends to break those obligations. You see, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, out of the New Living Translation says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." That is the norm, that the wages of sin is death. But what we get to experience today, you and I, is the free gift of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus says, "It's not right for me to take the food from the children and give it to the dogs." What a rude and inconsiderate statement, Jesus. Jesus, you're calling her a dog. How dare you even say something like that to her? The Bible even goes as far to say she's a Gentile, someone who was not supposed to be there in that house in the first place, someone who you would think would be disqualified because of who she is or where she has been or what she may have even done. Jesus already had seen her persistence, of that she was not willing to let it go. And we see that constantly in the Bible, even with the story of Jacob, that as he begins to wrestle with the angel, and the angel says, "You've got to let me go because day breaks. The norm has got to happen. We've got to get back to our day-to-day operations." And Jacob says, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And you and I have to have that same determination inside of our heart and our mind, that what I want to do is be so fixated on God that I don't want to let him go until I see him change and do something great in my life. Not just my life, Jesus, but I want to see you do something great in my kids' life or in my marriage or in our valley or in our state or even our nation or our world. What I want to see you do is something miraculous, but what I've got to do is come into alignment with the heartbeat of the Father. Amen. That I want to see him do so much. That we see her persistence before when he had stayed silent to her first cry. Now we see that she's not going away. She's not going to let it go by. Jesus, I've got a need, and I'm not going to let it disqualify me just because of who I am or where I have been. You see, because what may have disqualified her, or what we thought would have disqualified her, is actually what was going to bring her to the victory that she needed. What we thought was going to disqualify her, or even you and I from God, what we thought would keep him from us, will actually be the very thing that brings us through. You see, because David's disqualifications did not stop him from taking on the giant. His disqualifications of that he's too young, he's too little, he's not a soldier. What he has to do is stay behind and take care of the flock. And David is saying, because it's not just his own willingness to fight, but it's because he knew the God that he served. Because he knew the God that he served. It had nothing to do with him, but everything to do with the God that he served. It's the same thing with this woman that didn't belong in that house because it was of a Jewish house. And she had heard about this man named Jesus, and she was at the end of her rope and not willing to let it go. Because she says, "I'm not going to let it go until you bless me." She was willing to do something completely that breaks the norm and completely out of the ordinary. Jesus is teaching a parable, as it says, and he's teaching his disciples. And she interjects herself into the middle of his teaching and even says to him, "The dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Oh, my word. Imagine with me. As Jesus is teaching, she interjects. As most of the time in the Bible, we hear where people are just constantly sitting and listening. Where this woman says that I want a relationship, I need God to do something. I want a relationship with God, and so I'm willing to do something out of the ordinary. Not only was she so persistent, but she also interrupts Jesus' parable. Thought it was interesting because she wasn't willing to back down. She wasn't willing to let go. She wasn't willing to let her disqualifications keep her down anymore. But then she uses Jesus' own words against him. Are you crazy, lady, that you're going to use Jesus' word against him? I mean, how many times would you and I have just given up and walked away? How many times have you and I given up on our prayer when Jesus said, wait? How many times have you and I given up when he felt like he's not answering us? And I say you and I because, again, I'm putting myself with you. I'm human. Sometimes it feels like you begin to pray for something and nothing happens. And here's this woman giving all her needs to Jesus. He tells her that he can't do it right now. He's doing something else. What he's saying is, hey, I'm taking care of the disciples first, and then I'll take care of you. He didn't turn her away. He just simply told her to wait. That waiting can be very difficult. And this lady says, but wait a minute. Even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She wasn't willing to let go, and she wasn't willing to walk away. So how many times have we quit just because we didn't get the answer we were looking for? How many times have we given up because we felt like he's not listening to us? I'm sure when she said that to Jesus, Jesus did this whole, excuse me? He's already doing something kind of out of the ordinary. I mean, I'm sure his normal would have been like, woman, blessed art thou. What we need to do is listen to thee and see what you would like to say. But Jesus is teaching a parable, and he's already doing something different. So he's like, excuse me, lady. And she says, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he answers her and says, good answer. Good answer. One translation, the other verse that says, dear woman. He used it as a term to show how much he cares for her. Not that he's trying to lower her any. Not that he's trying to disrespect her at all. But when he sees the faith rise up inside of her that says, I'm not going to let it go. I want to see you bless. Because all I've been eating is faith for the last however many long. All I've been doing is eating faith for this many amount of years that my daughter's been tormented. All I've been doing is eating faith for all this time to see you move. And now I get the chance to be in front of you. So I'm not going to let go until you bless my daughter. Until you deliver her and set her free. You see, he sees her true colors come through with, I'm sure, a smile on his face as he says, your faith is great and your request is granted. I'm sure a smile that broke out because Jesus, again, is teaching a parable, and here this woman is like, I'm not going to let it go. It reminded me of my kids as we began. Okay, here, I guess I'll tell them myself. So one of the things that's funny, and my wife and my kids know this, is that when they're asking me something and I say, well, think about it, it really means no. I'm just trying to be nice and saying, well, think about it. When my wife asked if we're going to go shopping, and I was like, well, think about it. when my kid says, I would really like this, I said, dude, we'll think about it. And now they know that means no. And Jesus is sitting there, and it's not just I'll think about it moment. But he's waiting to see if she's willing to be persistent in her faith. Is she really willing to run the race that's now set in front of her? Is she willing, like the Bible says, to lay aside every weight and sin that constantly entangles us and now run with full force into the loving arms of a Savior? That you and I get that same opportunity to bring our request and made known unto God. But even hearing or listening to him is more of the bigger aspect. Because so many times, I'm constantly talking to him instead of talking with him. And we see that Jesus, through, I'm sure, a smile on his face, he says, your faith is great. Your request has been granted. Go home because your daughter is healed. You mean to say she's already been healed and I've been sitting here this whole time waiting for you to answer me? Yes. That's it. Because Jesus wasn't looking on the outside. He was looking on the inside. He wasn't looking for what we could see on the outside. But he was looking and waiting to hear what was actually going on in her heart. He was looking and hearing what he was waiting for the disciples to actually hear what was going on inside of his heart. You and I today, as we begin our relationship with God or have been living with God for so long, it still comes down to a heart issue. That we have to position our heart to be in line with the Father's heartbeat. I know it seems difficult. I know it's something that we're constantly doing. But again, it's about what we put into our body. Because it's what about comes out. What about what we ooze out of us? That we ooze the love of Christ out of us. That we ooze his goodness and his grace that he's put onto us and we can now give it to others. That we get to be his vessel or his tool used in the kingdom of God. That it's not difficult, I promise. It's actually really simple. He made it a simple gospel for us. That all we've got to do is position our heart and say, God, forgive me. I give my heart to you. And now do what you want to do with me. About surrendering to him and seeing God do what he always says he's going to do. You see, Matthew says, the book of Matthew says that the daughter was instantly healed. And it leaves the story like that. But I love what Mark ends it with and says, now go home for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed and the demon was gone. How long was that walk home? How long was that walk home that she had to now live on the faith and the word that was spoken to her? When you and I get this word, I want you to do something and that's put it inside of your heart. Because again, it's a heart moment, right? It's a heart check. But we've got to make room for when the word of God is spoken to us, we're willing for it to live on faith, to continue until tomorrow. Continue until the next day, the next day, the next day, however long it may take, however many years it may go through. But I know what the word says, that he's going to bring it to pass. I love when he says, now go home, lady, for the demon has left your daughter. He looked at her and says, your faith is so great. Because you weren't willing to give it up. And she said, and he tells her, go home. The demons left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed. And the demon was gone. That long walk home, every step she had to take, every time her foot hit the ground, I'm sure she could hear the echoing of a Savior, the echoing of this man named Jesus, that the word that had been spoken into her life, and now she's got to carry it into the next situation. She's going to leave that house and walk to however long her house was. I don't know. I wish we kind of knew. It'd be kind of nice to know that she just have to go next door. Was it just another room in the house? Was it down the street? Was it to the city? I want to know, but I don't think the Bible clarifies because it doesn't quite matter. What matters is she was walking by faith because faith was what was for her dinner. Faith is what she was wanting to live off of. The word of God is what she was constantly using to sustain her, to keep her, and to keep moving her forward. Because if you and I are ever going to be anything in God, we have got to live off the words of God. Jesus said it best when he's being tempted by the devil in his fasting time. And he says that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it's so interesting to me that every word that comes from the mouth of God, that the Bible was not completely written. He had the Old Testament together, but he didn't have the New Testament. So what was he living off of? The word that he was living through. The word that he was listening for as the Father would begin to speak. You see, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, it says it this, now faith brings our hope into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. This testimony is faith that what previous generations were committed for. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. Yeah. You know, it's I was thinking about how, again, I was playing all this out in my mind and was just like, you know, thinking about if it was made into a movie, you know, how would it go? Who would play who? Just kind of one of those things. It was late at night as I was studying, so forgive me. So she's walking, and I wonder what worship song was going through her head at the time. You know, again, it's the word and the faith that she had to go off of, but sometimes like that one catchphrase from a worship song just kind of hits you, stays inside of you, and that's like all you can think about all week long. You know, to our daughter right now, it's Waymaker. She will sing it, she will hum it, she will twirl to it, she will dance to it. And it's like, what got stuck inside of this mama's mind as she left the presence of Jesus? What kept her going all the way to her house? You see, I thought about that because as we come together, we receive the word of God. And now what keeps us going when we actually leave this place? Is it the presence that we've constantly got to carry with us as we move in our day-to-day operations? As we get to our school, as we get to our home, as we get in the car, and we're on our way to go eat somewhere, are we taking Jesus with us? Are we taking the word of God with us? Are we taking the faith that he has given to us, that it's the another translation of Hebrews says, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the glue that contains, that keeps us together. So Jesus, I want you to have, I want my faith to just explode in you tonight. I want my faith to be renewed and refreshed inside of you. Last verse, Psalms chapter 34, verses 9 through 10. The Passion Translation again, it says, worship in awe and wonder, all you who've been made holy. All you who've been made holy. For all who fear him will feast with plenty. Even the strong and wealthy grow weak and hungry. But those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Isn't that amazing? That those who passionately seek after God with my whole heart and mind, that says, I know that I may feel unworthy, but I know I've been made holy, as the verse said. I've been made holy through his presence, been made holy through him, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what I've experienced, I know you get to experience today. And I don't want you to leave the same. What I want you to leave is with a relationship with God. That you begin to know that if I can passionately seek after him with everything inside of me, that it says that I will not lack any good thing. Is there always going to be money in the bank? Sometimes not. Are we never going to fight in my marriage? Man, you're kidding me. Are my kids always going to serve God? I sure hope so. Are they going to act right? Probably not. But I know that I'm not going to lack any good thing because of who he is. And what he's done, and what he continues to do, and the word that's spoken to me, and the word that's spoken to you, that we get to live on it. We get to dine with him. We get to feast on him. We get to love on him. And most of all, we get to walk arm in arm with him. Not by myself, but I get to walk with him. And I get to walk with all you wonderful people as the body of Christ. You're not alone, and I hope that you know that because Jesus is with you. And I know that sounds cliche, but more than that, you've got a body of believers that are constantly gathering around you to let you know if you need help, we're here for you. You need prayer, we're here for you. But most of all, you need a relationship with God. He's right here for you, and he's here to do what he said he's going to do. So you're not a dog underneath the table just trying to lack up the scraps and you're trying to figure out. No, what he's saying to you and I today is that you are children of the Most High Living God. You get to sit at that table now because you are made holy through him, righteous through him of what he has done. So faith is what's for dinner. So would you stand to your feet? Oh, man. You know, it's interesting, funny, like I said, as you're standing there, and I could hear her just, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Every step she had to take from the moment that she got that word, Jesus, I know you're right there. And so I don't know how you're doing it, but I know you're doing it. Because all I've been feasting on is faith. All I've been feasting on is the unknown, is the unseen. Because I know if I can align myself with you and your word, you make out of nothing. You make out of nothing that which is unseen to be seen, to be manifested right there in front of me. And so God, I'm just saying right now that we would begin to feel the faith that you have for us, and the faith that has been inside of us would come into agreement with each other. That we don't want to leave the same, but we want to leave with more faith. Because I know that if I passionately pursue you, passionately go after you, passionately seek after you, that I will not lack any good thing. Any good thing. As our ministry team comes up here, as we close out here, you have the opportunity, all of us have the opportunity to be able to pray with somebody, and that's why we have our ministry teams come up. So if you'd like to pray with one of them, you're more than welcome to come as soon as we close, or even now if you would like, and you can pray with one of them. If not, we've got the altar area up here in the front open that you can come and pray for yourself, by yourself. But I want you to know that faith is what we live off of. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it always going to be easy? Like, no, because we just read the story where the woman had to constantly go after it, constantly pursue him. Passionately pursue him. So when you leave this place, as the word has been spoken into your life, I want you to go home, and every step you take, everything you're doing, just let God be with you. Let God constantly move through you and in you and around you. So would you just put your hands out as we close out? Jesus, I know you're speaking to us right now. I know you're speaking to your children right now, that they don't have to feel unworthy. They don't have to feel the guilt and shame anymore. But you came and you robed yourself in flesh and died on a cross, and best of all, rose again so that we can experience new life. We don't have to be the same. To the two gentlemen that gave their life to Christ this morning, how awesome and wonderful that they're dedicating their lives to you. And this morning, we rededicate ourselves to you. And we rededicate, rather, we've been serving for 100 years or only just the first day and our first time here. But we know that you are good and your mercy endures forever and ever. And best of all, it's new every single morning. Every morning that it's new and it's great to us. So God, as we have heard your word, that faith is what's for dinner, that we would constantly go this week and just let you have your way in our lives. Let you have your way in each and every one of us, from the right to the left, from the front to the back, from the oldest to the youngest, as we just give you all that you are worthy of. Let us know that we don't have to stay down anymore, but we get to lift our head high in confidence, knowing of whose kid we are. We are not orphans anymore, but we have been bought with a price, and we are sons and daughters of the Most High Living God. So we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you what you're continuing to do. So we say, God be with us. God be in us. God be through us. God live in us. God love through us. God love each and every one of us. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you guys as you leave, if you've got to go. If not, the ministry team is up here, and you are more than welcome to come to the front and pray. Make sure you greet somebody around you. If they're new, introduce yourself. Let them know who you are before you leave. God bless you guys. Have a great week.